I would like to invite you to turn to your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 1 through 16. I'm reading from the ESV. Follow me as I read. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed, having nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full of acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. Thus ends the reading of God's word.
Once again, we're privileged to have Brother Ron Gotsman with us this morning, not a stranger to this pulpit, but it has been some time since you've been here. Ron, would you come and share with us this morning?
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Sunrise Bible Church. It is a joy to be here. I'm thankful for the opportunity to share the word this morning. I don't know about you, but my heart was warmed when we sang those songs this morning. Thank you for your ministry and even the offertory. I was singing redeemed, redeemed, and just wonderful. During my Sunday school time, I gave more of a testimony about Central Seminary, but there's a table out there. I just want to thank you for your support. You help us train pastors and missionaries, and I thank you for that. I think currently, we have over 800 graduates. We have 150 graduates in Romania. 20% of the Baptist pastors in Romania are Central Seminary grads. We have students, and we're training students around the world, and you assist us in doing that. And I say thank you. I pray for this church often. It seems like I'm always traveling on 35 going north. I've been preaching at a little town called Graston every once in a while, and then I preach at other churches north, and every time I go by, well, I stop at McDonald's here on 35 and 95, and I think of you folks, and I say a prayer. This summer, I was traveling up to International Falls to preach. I don't like staying overnight in a hotel, so I'd get up early in the morning, drive to International Falls, preach three times, drive back, but I go through this little town called Orr, Minnesota. And I stop at the church there, and I see Pastor Rock and Sock. And I go in and just harass him real quick and leave. Last time I saw him, he said, "Ron, you sure are aging." So I'm not going to go visit him again. I don't know what he's going to say. But it's always a joy to think of you, pray for you. I pray for your pastor and your assistant pastor. And it's good to see so many familiar faces. I think and pray for you often. This morning, I'm going to do something really different. Don't hold it against me. But I want to talk about preaching. And to be a pastor. You help us train pastors. You're in the process of training a future pastor, Stephen. And we're all in this together. We're training future Christian leaders. And probably the most public thing a pastor does is preach. And I want to talk about that this morning. The title is The Centrality of Preaching from 2 Timothy chapter 4. 1 year ago, I preached an installation service for one of our grads who took a church in St. Paul, Lower Town, right on West 7th Street, Emmanuel Baptist Church. And when I preached that installation service, I talked to the pastor about the importance of preaching. And I talked to the congregation about the importance of preaching, of listening, of being receptive, of being obedient to the preached word of God. And I tried to answer this. Why do we spend so much time in preaching? Why do you come here and expect to sit and listen to someone for 30, 40, well, we'll see about that this morning. Why do you do that Sunday after Sunday, sermon after sermon? Why not just come here and analyze or meditate or hum or discuss or fellowship? Why come here and listen to someone preach the Bible? Well, Paul tells us why in our text. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In fact, remember verse 16 of chapter 3. We talked about this in Sunday school. All scripture is God-breathed and it's profitable. And then Paul says this, chapter 4 and verse 1 of 2 Timothy. I charge you, Timothy, I charge you, therefore, because of the inspired word before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. By the way, the kingdom is future. I think it says that here. Preach the word. Be instant or ready, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine or teaching. For the time will come, by the way, when we read that passage in 1 Timothy 4 this morning, when Gary read that, sounds very familiar here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or healthy teaching. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. The idea is they will heap to themselves teachers who tickle their ears, who say what they want to hear, and will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside into fables. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Preach the word. You know, preaching, standing up before a congregation and sharing the word of God, has fallen on hard times in our broad religious world. It's not popular in our broad religious world to be known as a Bible preacher or to attend a Bible preaching church. And folks, churches that major on Bible preaching and teaching are few and far between. With the theological liberals, those who deny the inspiration of this book, who throughout the Bible do not believe the authority of the Bible, preaching has fallen on hard times. A survey was taken of a liberal seminary. When I say liberal, I mean they deny the Bible, the authority of scriptures. And out of a class of 113, only 6 freshmen elected to take a class in preaching. By the way, it wasn't required. And in liberal churches, Preaching has been replaced with the lecture, the lesson, the homily, the dialogue, the discussion. Preaching has been replaced with the Oprah moment or pop psychology. And folks, rightly so. Because when you throw out the Bible, you have nothing to preach. And even in broad evangelicalism, preaching is under attack. Evangelicals are split right down the middle on the subject of inspiration. And folks, as I said, when you throw out inspiration, you have nothing to preach. In fact, I recently read of a new seminary offering the MDiv, and the required courses were counseling, self-awareness and leadership, Christian thought, world religions, but no course in homiletics or how to preach. And folks, even in some conservative evangelical sectors, preaching, standing up and teaching and listening to the Word of God has fallen on hard times. And folks, we are in trouble in conservative evangelicalism because the type of preaching that is taking place. You know, in some circles, storytelling has replaced preaching. Instead of being masters of declaring the Word of God, we have become masters of storytelling. When I was in seminary a long time ago, entertainment was beginning to replace preaching. In fact, my seminary professor talked about, in one situation, the flaming evangelist. And he would go around the country and he would preach, and he'd preach on the subject of hell, which needs to be preached on. And at the climax of his sermon, he would set himself on fire. He had an asbestos suit. And he would run up and down the aisles screaming and yelling, and people were seeing the show. But that has replaced preaching. By the way, this man is no longer preaching today. He's burnt out. No, just teasing. Okay. Being seeker-sensitive has replaced preaching. And folks, even in youth work, among young people, I was a youth pastor for 13 years. And the popular trend in those days was don't preach to teenagers. Just sponsor, just nurture, entertain, amuse. Just get down on their level and rap. And sometimes a youth pastor has turned into the recreation director or the entertainment director. Fun and games. Party time. But folks, our kids are sinners. They're depraved, just like the adults, just like me and you. And our kids and our adults need to be under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And folks, I'm so thankful for Central Seminary, and I'm thankful for Sunrise Bible Church, because you take preaching seriously. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to young Timothy. These are the last words of Paul. It seems like in days, his head would roll, he would be executed, and Paul writes this book, the same as 1 Timothy as we read this morning, to encourage young Timothy in pastoral ministry, but also to be a preacher. And I believe this morning, I know this is a different type of sermon, but I think there are some things we can learn about preaching for the congregation and for the preacher from this passage. First of all, Paul says, preaching is serious. Preaching is serious. Why? Why standing up here and preaching the word and you listening to the word, why is it so serious? Because God will judge the preacher. Did you notice that in verse 1? I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. By the way, do you get the impression that this is serious? When Paul writes this to Timothy, this is really, really, really serious stuff. Preach the word. It's, by the way, he uses a military term here. He says, I charge you. It means a solemn order or a command, given from one ranking officer down to another, as it was given by God himself. In this case, it's given from God to Paul to Timothy. And when it's given to Timothy, it does not lose one bit of its authority. My son-in-law is in the military. He's Army Special Forces. This summer, in June, he went to HALO school in Arizona, near Tucson, Arizona. HALO school. By the way, he's no angel. I don't know why he went to HALO school. But HALO means high altitude, low open. He was taught to jump out of airplanes at 19,000, 20,000 feet. High altitude, low open. That scares me to death. I remember he had a GoPro on, and in the plane, one of the engines went out, and they had to exit the plane quickly. And he had the GoPro on, and the commanding officer in the plane was going like this. And sure enough, one right after another, they followed orders. They were jumping right out of that plane, following orders. And Paul says, I charge you. This is an order given by God. Preach the word. And Timothy, or Paul, calls before Timothy two witnesses to this charge. Did you notice that? He calls God the Father as a witness, who is interested in the preaching of his word, and Jesus Christ, who is a judge of the universe before whom every believer will stand. I think the point is this, Timothy. Be faithful in your preaching. Because when Jesus Christ returns and you will be judged, you will be judged on your faithfulness in preaching. Notice here. Nothing is said about results. Nothing is said about how big your church is or how many you lead to Christ. But your faithfulness in preaching will be evaluated. Now, folks, I think this had tremendous effect on Timothy. Remember, Timothy was young in years. Remember, we may have read this morning, let no man despise thy youth. Timothy was young. Timothy was timid. The phrase timid Timothy seems to be legitimate. That's why the word charge is used. Timothy, you need to listen to God. And remember, Timothy was sickly. In 1 Timothy, it says, Timothy, you take some wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. And folks, I think these words were meant to be an encouragement to Timothy. Timothy, don't be carried away with sensationalism. Don't be carried away with the spectacular. Keep in mind that your judge is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the important thing is not great results or how people receive you. The important thing is be faithful in your preaching. You see, God takes preaching seriously. The preacher must answer to God. And let me apply this to all of us here this morning. In a sense, all of us are preachers. We have been commissioned, we have been charged as the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to give out the gospel. And we will be judged, not on how many we lead to Christ or how big our church is, but how faithful we have been in declaring God's word. And if God takes preaching seriously, we ought to take it seriously as well. We had better be faithful in adherence to God's word, faithful in attentiveness, James said, swift to hear, and faithful in sharing that word to others. Preaching is serious. When I was in Michigan, we had an assistant pastor by the name of, a retiree's pastor by the name of Bob Gilchrist. Bob was a great guy. Bob was saved later in life. In fact, Bob worked for many years at General Motors. He worked at a Fisher Body stamping plant. It would stamp out door after door, after car door after car door. One day, remember Bob was unsaved at this time, he was putting a die in place to stamp out a car door. And Bob was a rough, profane, unsaved man, and the die slipped. It cut off his leg, slick as a whistle. He almost died. But God used that in the providence of God for Bob to hear the gospel and become a Christian. His family came to Christ. And eventually Bob became an assistant pastor in our church. And Bob was not a trained preacher. But twice a year, Bob had the responsibility to preach to our church. And I loved to hear Bob preach. I would go to his office like 2 weeks before he was to preach, and he would be studying. He'd have an open Bible. He'd be studying God's word, and I'd be sitting at the foot of his desk. And then Bob would start preaching to me, his sermon to me. And he would go, you know, the yellow note legal pad. He would start preaching and waving his arms and preaching to me. And then he'd come across something that wasn't very clear in his notes. And I remember this as if it was yesterday. I remember him taking that yellow sheet of paper, ripping it off, wadding it up, and throwing it into an overflowing wastebasket in his office. I used to tell the people some of my best sermons were taken from Bob's waste paper basket. But here's a man who took preaching seriously. Paul says, preach the word. Preaching is serious. God will judge the preacher. In fact, God will be judging all of us. But secondly, Paul says, preaching is essential. God uses preaching. He says, preach the word, a strong command. Preach the word. The context here, the word here for preach is a word kairux, Greek word. And it simply means to herald out a message. When I was in college, the place where we had the preaching was called Kairux Auditorium. I think Gary remembers that. Kairux Auditorium, preaching auditorium. In those days, when a king had a message to give to the people, he had a spokesman, a herald. And his job was to go around the area and announce in a loud, clear voice the message of the king so all could hear. And these announcements were of extreme importance. They must be heard and heeded by all. The herald's job was simply to communicate the message of the king with accuracy and clarity. And folks, that's the job of the preacher. That's our job, to simply communicate, herald forth the message of the king with accuracy and clarity. Preach the word. Not to twist the meaning of Scripture or preach your opinions based on your own authority, but preach the word. God says preach the word, to simply explain what God means by what he says. You know, I love watching sports on television. In fact, you may think this is weird, but I love watching golf on television. Some of you are falling asleep already when I say watching golf. I love golf. I love to watch golf. In fact, remember when flat screens first came out? We didn't have a flat screen TV. One Saturday afternoon, the Masters was on in Rosedale Mall in the mall area, had all these flat screen TVs, a new development. And I went down in Rosedale Mall and I stood for 4 or 5 hours and watched the Masters on television. And folks, I was not the only one who stood there for 5 hours, okay? But I love watching golf. And now my kids bought me a flat screen TV for Christmas 2 years ago. But I like to see the individual blades of grass, okay? I like to see the way the ball breaks. There's a commentator on golf. His name is Johnny Miller. Some of you know, recognize that name. He just announced his retirement this week. And he is good. He's honest. If a player hits a bad shot, he says on TV, that was a bad shot. The players don't like that, okay? They don't like such honesty. If he hits a great shot, he says, that's a great shot. And he simply explains the game of golf to me. When I lived in Michigan, there was a famous baseball announcer by the name of Ernie Harwell. And he was so good, he could paint on the radio waves a picture of the baseball game. It was fun to listen to Ernie. You could get a PhD in baseball by listening to Ernie Harwell. He was not a cheerleader. He was not hyper. He did not yell or scream. He simply explained the game of baseball with passion. He knew a lot more about baseball than I did, and he explained the game. And folks, that's the way it is with the preaching. The preacher usually knows more about the Bible than I do, and all I want to do as a church member is hear what God says. God's word simply explained. And folks, the older I get, I'm not so much concerned about special music or all that kind. I enjoy it. I love it. It adds so much. And maybe I'm just getting old. Amen? I thought I might get an amen there. But I'm not interested in guilt trips or yelling or browbeating sermons or the preacher preaching in his own authority. I want to hear what God says so I can hear the word and I can worship him. And a preacher must be faithful in declaring the word, and we as church members must be interested in hearing the word. You know, preaching is serious. God will judge the preacher, and we're all preachers. Preaching is essential. Preach the word. Let me say quickly, preaching is to be persistent. Did you catch that? Be instant or be persistent. It means be diligent, be on the alert for every opportunity to share the word. For us as laymen, the Bible says, be ready to share God's word with the lost. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, 1 Peter 3, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In the last 2 years, God, in his providence, has given me a little side job that I love to do. Since my kids are grown and married and living away from the house, I signed up on Twitter to be an usher at Gopher volleyball games and basketball games and football games and soccer games. And I love it. What I love about it, I get to see part of the game, but also I get to meet many, many unsaved people. My nickname is Preacher. I've shared the gospel with more people in the last 2 years than I've done in the 10 years previous to that. There's a joy and getting to know unsaved people, developing a relationship with them, and sharing God's word. Preaching must be persistent. Think about your own life. When was the last time you had an opportunity to share the gospel with someone? Let me also mention this quickly. Preaching must be balanced. Did you catch that? There must be reproving. This is in verse 2 of chapter 4. There must be reproving when you preach. It's the idea of pointing out violation to God's word. Now, the Spirit does that through us, but there must be reproving. There must be rebuking, which is a stronger word. It's the idea of censor, placing blame. It's the idea of calling attention to sin. And there must be exhortation, encouraging, building up words. Words called alongside to help and encourage fellow believers. And Paul says it's all to be done in long-suffering and doctrine, patience and teaching or instruction. By the way, do you know what will happen if pastors preach that way and we as God's people faithfully listen or are faithfully attentive to God's word? Do you know what will happen if that happens, if we do that? I think we will go spiritually. Growth is simply becoming more and more like Jesus. And if we listen to God's word and adhere to it, it will deliver us from the tragedy of spiritual weakness. And we know what it's like to be spiritually weak when we go through these trials. We will grow spiritually. We will have victory in our lives, victory over the flesh and the devil. We will be able to minister effectively to others. We will be used by God when we share the word. The following letter was sent to a pastor from a man who did not think that preaching was very important. The letter read like this: Dear Pastor, it seems ministers feel their sermons are very important and spend a great deal of time preparing them. I've been attending church quite regularly for 30 years, and I have probably heard 3,000 sermons. To my consternation, I discovered that I cannot remember a single sermon. I wonder if a minister's time might be more profitably spent in doing something else. Can you imagine a pastor opening and receiving a letter like that? The pastor thought for a moment and responded. He wrote this letter to the gentleman. Dear sir, I've been married 30 years. During that time, I have eaten 32,000 meals, mostly my wife's cooking. Suddenly, I have discovered I cannot remember the menu of a single meal. And yet, I have the distinct impression that without them, I would have starved to death long ago. You know, the goal of preaching is not to remember every sermon, but to hear the word of God and worship Him and grow thereby. As we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we read in this passage, well, the time will come, well, they will not endure sound teaching. It says that, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers. The idea is that teachers that tickle the ears, that say what they want to hear, and will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be faithful in all things, Timothy. Endure afflictions and do the work of evangelist. There's a calamity in preaching, by the way. Paul says, for the time will come. And folks, I think it's here in certain situations when they will not endure sound, healthy words, healthy preaching. People, Paul says, will no longer be content with hearing God's word. They will run from place to place, trying to satisfy their foolish cravings. Maybe it's the self-esteem gospel. Maybe it's the health and wealth gospel. Maybe it's twisted truth. It's heaping to themselves teachers who say what they want to hear. Well, what's the solution to that? Paul says it's going to happen. What do you do when people turn off the word of God? What do you do when people say, I don't want to hear what God says anymore? What's the solution to that? Well, Paul says, keep on preaching anyhow. In England, during the 1800s, that was a nation that was up to their necks in biblical truth. There were giants in the earth in those days. Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached to thousands at Metropolitan Tabernacle. Not far away, Joseph Parker was preaching to a congregation of 3,000. F.B. Meyer was leading people to a closer walk with God. G. Campbell Morgan was faithfully preaching God's word. Dr. Alexander McLaren was preaching some of the finest expository sermons in the history of the church. C.H. Liddon was holding forth the word of life, and D.L. Moody would travel to England and have great revival services where thousands would come to Jesus. Well, what happened? In England today, it's largely silent when it comes to the preaching of the word of God. A land that used to send forth hundreds and hundreds of missionaries now has become a mission field. Why? For lack of preaching? No, for a lack of listening to God's word. I'm reminded of the church at Ephesus in our Bibles, pastored by Paul and Timothy, by Apollos, by John the Apostle. But in 30 years, it says, they had lost their first love. What happened? Was there something wrong with the preaching? I think something was wrong with the listening. We had become careless, disinterested when it came to the hearing of God's word. But folks, we have a great privilege today at Sunrise Community or Bible Church and at Central Seminary to have the inspired word, to read it, and to hear it preached from our pulpits faithfully. That is a great privilege. That cannot be said in a lot of places. Paul says preaching is important. It's serious. It's essential. It must be persistent. And there is danger even when the word of God is preached, when we sometimes have a tendency to turn it off. This morning, my theme of the day is the word of God. In Sunday school, we talked about the Old Testament. And this morning, I preached a different type of message just to remind us of the importance to train pastors who preach the word, and to be a member of a church that is faithful to the preaching of the word of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege to preach it. Thank you for the privilege we have as church members to have an open Bible and hear the word of God proclaimed faithfully from this pulpit. We're thankful for Pastor Sturch and Pastor Stephen. We're thankful for the members of this church who for years and years and years have been faithful to sharing God's word themselves, but also taking God's word seriously. I pray, Lord, that Sunrise Bible Church will be forever known as a Bible-preaching church. Until you come. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.